Well, I could groove along and listen to that all night, but you know what? We've got some work to do, you know, and it is an insane world. And you know what? This Facebook platform is just sad. It truly is against free speech. So what I'm going to do in the next very next little while, hopefully this week, is that say, Genevieve, good to see you, Sister Debbie, Jennifer. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to be closing down my Facebook page, and then focusing my attention on getting TikTok up and running, Twitter, and more time into Telegram. So we are going to be going off Facebook. It's really just, it's a case of you've really got to jump off, don't you? Make no bones about it. Oh, I've had to get that in there just because JH is online tonight. But kia ora tātou, e hoa mā, no mai whakatau mai rā, no mai haere mai ki te kōrero a tāhua. This beautiful conversation that we're going to have tonight. And you know what? It's been a beautiful weekend. We've had intermittent rain up here, but you know what? I baptised two beautiful sisters yesterday and performed a beautiful marriage. And you know what? The sun came out. It was beautiful. The clouds parted. And it was just stunning. It really, truly was. It was just beautiful. And you know what? When we had finished the service, it was unbelievable. It poured down like, you know, just a little while longer. We had a massive storm, and it was unreal. So we were very thrilled and feeling very, very blessed yesterday that we had such a beautiful service and a beautiful opportunity to do that. It's just awesome. Hey, Sister B, good to see you. Welcome again to you and everyone else. Well, look, you know, isn't it funny? Look, you know, I'm not complaining. I'd rather have five people than no people or one person. It's kind of like when I was growing up as a musician, I used to get told you have to play just as hard for five people as you would for 5,000 people. And I always did. I would play just as hard out, just as passionate and committed for half a dozen people as I would for 10,000 people. And it's a little bit like this here. And because I am being wickedly reduced on my broadcasts. Like, it's been bad for a long time. But now it's super bad. I've got 31 people where, you know, I used to have several hundred, and then I used to have, you know, every day, at least over 100 people come in and join the Facebook presentations. And my numbers are still there. My following is increasing, but what they're doing is they're restricting the amount of space that I have to be able to go out there into the into virtual land, if you like, so that you guys know I'm speaking. So please, if you can, hit the share button. That's going to be really, really important. I know that some of you have lost your share buttons when you come online to watch my broadcasts, but you know, let's do our best for now. But yeah, I certainly am going to get on, I've got to get off Facebook. It's just not happening anymore, really, is it? Yes, TikTok is definitely dark and is owned by the Chinese. So is Telegram. They're all compromised. But the thing is, it is kind of like when you're on Facebook like this, you know, the reality of it is, you know, is that, you know, if I can put the same amount of energy on another platform and reach a lot more people, and then I think, you know, that would be pretty cool. Sister Kathy saying, how do you do comments on Telegram or read comments? Can we? Oh no, eek. How do you do? Yeah, exactly. Okay, fair enough. But anyway, the point I want to make is that this is not a freedom based platform at all. Facebook, it's sold your algorithm details to corporates. It won't let you say things. It watches the algorithms of what you say. And it basically, it gives you a hard time if you say something that they don't like, you know. So Valerie says, it's not that we don't want to hear you. It's just difficult to know when you are going live. Sister Cheryl texts me, bless you. Exactly. That's right, Sister Valerie. It's exactly like that. It's, you know, people just aren't getting the message. Hey, Sister Megan, so good to see you. And so we persevere. Why? Because I would much rather do a broadcast like this and at least get the message out and have that as a starting place so that we can work together to open our eyes to what's going on. Because the other night I did a whole presentation on the international health regulations. Now and it sounds like a laborious, boring topic, but you know what? It's one of the most important things that we're dealing with. And unless it's just like the natural therapeutics regulations that are coming. Hey, Gabriel, good to see you. You know, it's just like that. It's just like that. You know, the natural therapeutics. I wonder how many homeopaths and naturopaths and herbalists know about that. You know, I really do. Hey, Elaine, I doubt very many do. I reckon some do, but I reckon a lot maybe don't. You know, and it's affecting their... It's affecting their business. It's going to affect their business sector big time. But the thing is, if you can understand the international health regulations, you'll then be able to stretch across the divide of understanding, and you'll link it all up with the WHO Global Pandemic Treaty, Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. You'll understand how Agenda 2030 is reaching out its tentacles through every sector that affects your, well, a human life and an animal life even, let's face it. They're going that way as well. So, you know, this is really serious stuff and we have to know about it. I don't care, you know, Calvin and all the others can go for the sensational topics and all that, and that's cool. But you know what? I'm trying to get this type of information out, including what we're doing with the documentary, so that you're truly informed, that you can help other people, that you can help other people know what's going on, pure and simple, so that you can become an educator. Does that make sense? Alrighty. Now, I was speaking to my friends the other day who are, you know, fantastically close friends and supporters through the movement, and they never, ever get notifications that I'm going live. They just don't. And JH is saying, and the hidden comments are getting annoying, especially if most of them are very innocent and truthful. Exactly. Carl says, phew, nearly missed you live, Billy, got no notification. And that's the whole thing. People aren't getting it. But you know what? We're going to persevere and we're going to press on. All right. As you would have seen, I've got this poster up and running over here. Now, I just want to say to you, if you are in the Southland area, especially in the around Otago, Dunedin, and all that, well, I've got an event on Thursday night in Balclutha, and also we're looking hopefully to confirm an event on Tuesday in Dunedin. Now we're doing this flying by the seat of our pants, really, because what this is a pre-sneak preview tour sort of opportunity, because I'm filming that down there and interviewing and doing all sorts of things with my videographer. And so what we're doing is we're trying to sort of optimize and maximize the time that I'm going to be in town in that area. And Sister Monica, good to see you. Just put your package in the mail, by the way, so let me know when that arrives. And anyway, and so we would love for you to come. Please come along and get some of the information. We're going to put together a very, very special sneak preview sort of thing about the River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic. Give you a little bit more info about that, but we're going to look at all these other things and then talk about what we can do about it as well. I'm going to have River of Lies t-shirts on me. I've got also, I should mention, where is it? I've got one last phone that I was keeping in my personal stash for a friend of mine, but I can get her another one. I was going to post this to the UK, but I'm going to get her one sent directly from America. So I've got this. This is a Freedom Clear phone. It's a 620, the absolute top of the line, and I've got my one here. And I tell you what, I'm tech challenged. Yes, I'm a shocker that way. I truly am. But you know what? It is wicked. This is encryption. This is fantastic. This is freedom. And when I go down to Dunedin, my videographer is going to help me understand how it really works. But I've got it going. I've got it going, and I'm really thrilled with it. Privacy at last. So I'll be having this phone on me as well, and t-shirts and giveaways and things like that. So if you want this last phone, email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. But in February and in March, I am kicking off on a nationwide speaking tour, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it probably. Hey, it's just Angel, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Kia ora, Fine Ward, and we're going to basically cover the entire length and breadth of New Zealand. I'm going to have my beautiful whānau with me, and we're going to hit the road, and we're going to go out and do this. And this is educational. It's a fundraiser for my legal costs, because it's crippling. I'll be honest about it. It truly is crippling, and I think that's part of it. They just want to break me, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. It's all part of it. And you know what? The thing is, you know, you've got two choices. You either fall over and suck your thumb in the fetal position and pray that it all goes away and you give up, or you keep going and you finish the job that you've been given to do. I believe I've been given a job to do the work that I'm doing right now. And as you know, I am getting ready though to focus totally on my ministry work and get all that done and sorted, and being a farmer and a father and a husband and grandfather, koro, and that those things, you know, the freedom stuff will be wrapped firmly into my ministry work. So, you know, it's going to be there'll be a lot less broadcasts, but you'll still be able to find me, and we'll work together to make that happen, that we don't lose touch with each other. But I'm really looking forward to getting out on the road to see you guys. All right, now I want to talk about this article here. Now, I'm going to bring it up for you in a second. This is this is quite funny. It's funny, sad, tragic, and yeah, not good at all. Not good at all. But I'm going to show you this. I'm going to have a little sip of my cuppa. All right, we got it there. Now, this here was an article that I found today. And you know what? You've got to feel sorry for this woman. I call her Paula the Poison Penfold. That's a good one, eh? Paula the Poison Penfold. Abuse of journalists shows how ugly our civil discourse has become. But there's nothing civil about the way these people do business. Stuff that .co do business. Kate Hanna, New Zealand Herald, any one of them. What they do is not good. It's not good. It's never been decent. It's never been right. And they can make out now that they're kind of sorry about doing the things that they do, and that they make mistakes, just like all of us. You can't condemn them for that. But, you know, I mean, like this guy, Greg Capitan from New Zealand Herald, was at my court case the other week. I gave him a good serve, controlled, Christianly, but I gave him a firm serve up at the court. And, you know, because they're dirty and they're indecent in how they do things. I'm sorry, there's really no other way to put it. Now, what Paula's saying here is that, hey, look, I'll take my camera out here. Look, the abuse of journalists shows how ugly our civil discourse has become. All right, but she forgets. What about this? What about this article here, Paula? Let's have a look. I'm drawn to people, but this year I've been disgusted by the selfishness of some. Did you get that? I'm drawn to people, but this year I've been disgusted by the selfishness of some. And basically, in the story here, she is basically saying, you know, that people are basically nut jobs that don't agree with the government's narrative about COVID-19. All right, and away they go. And in this article, she's talking about looking at people, and she goes, all of which is to say, I like people normally. I studied sociology and human geography because of how people interrelate with each other, and the world is endlessly fascinating. Yet 2021, people started to irritate me. Not all people, not all the time, but people started to irritate her because she's so very, very special. But I began to see things that made me viscerally furious. Pukuriri. Don't you hate it when these woke people use te reo Māori to try and make themselves look hip? And it shows how selfish people are. And basically what it goes into, she talks about how sick her poor sister is. Now, I've got complete compassion and sympathy for that. I'm not having a go at that at all. That would be wrong. But she's using that as a base to say that people who don't wear masks and don't get your jab are pieces of filth, because you're going to make people like that at risk, right? And so she's essentially blaming a very bad situation, is that it's become worse because people won't get all their jabs, right? All right, but let's, reading through this, and I've read this article many, many times. Listen to this. I tell you this so you understand why. When I saw a post on a friend's Facebook page explaining that she wouldn't be getting the COVID vaccine because she hadn't had the flu in 15 years and she trusted her immune system, I shouted, it's not about you and it's not a flu, and hit unfriend. So right then and there, she got ugly enough that a friend that she knew, she didn't agree with that person's freedom of choice to decide whether she wants something or not that's a provisionally approved experimental drug. And then why, when another old schoolmate posted a ranting video of someone touting herself as a freedom fighter attempting to launch a political party on some vague anti-vax platform, I wrote something sarcastic and shut my laptop. So throw out a horrible thing, shut it up, so she doesn't have to account for what she said. So that's cowardly, don't you think? Anyway, she goes on more in this article. And, you know, she's talking about, I felt sick to my stomach at the thought of someone unvaccinated being anywhere near my sister in hospital. Okay, fair enough. And then she's saying that her husband was told he could visit if he wore full PPE gear. So what you have here, is you've got her wrapping in the tragic story of her dear sister who's very unwell into this. And she's blaming immunocompromisation on the risk factor that people that are injected represent. But this is where she loses it. She goes, I felt utter contempt towards those people who had lost their sense of community or any other concerns for who chose to prioritise themselves for the most misguided of reasons. Okay, we're going to unpack this. The science clear, she says. The vaccines work. Hold on a second. What is the job of a vaccine? It is to immunize you against getting a disease. Isn't that right? Isn't that the ancient definition of what a vaccine is and what it's for? Being vaccinated decreases the duration of the illness. But hold on a second. You know, isn't it meant to be about not getting the disease? Didn't Pfizer tell the world that if you got the jab, it will stop you from getting the disease? Isn't that what happened? Absolutely, that's what happened. And you've got the evidence here in what's called the Pfizer FDA health and safety documents, which have now been made public, and also part of the post-marketing report of the performance of the drug, says that the Pfizer papers documents confirm the vaccine was not just to lower symptoms and reduce symptoms, but was to prevent COVID. And that's what the narrative, that's the sales spiel that we were all given. We all remember that, don't we? And then, of course, you know, she's working on the prerogative that if you get your jab, what's going to happen? Well, you won't be infectious. Remember that one. We all remember that, don't we? And you got to ask yourself, where is this woman's head at? Well, let's check some facts. Let's fact check these people, because now you've got this lady here, Janine Small, European Pfizer, a senior executive.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping humanisation before it's entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk.
Right. So there you go. So what have we just looked at? Number one, the Pfizer vaccine was meant to stop you from getting the disease, not reduce symptoms. We were all told that. We were also told that that it will stop you from being infectious. And yet now it's completely all throughout the medical world that it was never, ever, ever tested for that. And Pfizer knew, and by the evidence I've seen so far, it appears likely that the New Zealand government knew, that they knew that it wasn't going to stop infection. But of course, the most serious claim, of course, would have to be the fact around that it was what? That it was what? Can anyone know what I'm going to say now? That it was safe. That it was safe. And this report by the New Zealand government proves that it's not. This is the New Zealand MedSafe report on vaccine adverse events, New Zealand Medicines and Medical Devices Safety Authority. Remember, this is the authority that approves and regulates what drugs are allowed to be released onto the New Zealand public. And remember this, they have not approved the monkeypox vaccine, also made by the same people that brought you the success story of this injection. And so Paula Penfold is overlooking some serious things here. 65,000 New Zealanders, just under 65,000 of them harmed, adverse events, almost 4,000 seriously harmed. And we know that this is only 5% of the real number. Ministry of Health says that this report is not capturing all of the numbers out there. So in the final analysis, and let's go back to Paula Poison Penfold. I like that. That's quite clever, actually. We need to calmly unpack what she's been claiming. So she's now claiming that the people that had concerns about and suspected that the concerns they had were founded based on the evidence that they were researching, that there were some things about this that didn't add up and didn't look right. Does that make sense? I think it does. And people said, no, there's something wrong here. It's not going to, it's just provisional. We've never used this technology before, and it's been rolled out at the speed of light. And yet this woman is now saying that she knows better than scientists, ministries, health ministries and agencies. And she's not listening to that woman, Janine Small, from Pfizer, who in October 2022 admits Pfizer never ever ever tested for transmission protection of this disease. And of course, the other aspect of this is that, you know, they were saying it's so deadly. And we're going to look at something about that in a second. So anyway, she's saying that she feels over here utter contempt to those people who lost their sense of community. No, they didn't lose their sense of community. They actually had a sense of themselves to stand there and tell the community this is all wrong. So she says the science is clear, the vaccines work, being vaccinated decreases the duration of the illness and the ability of the virus to replicate. And that's complete lies. She's a liar. She's truly a liar. I feel very, very sorry for her. The whole truth. And so then she goes back into the cancer aspect again. And it's a shocker that she's using her sister's disease in this way. I was really offended by it, actually, for that reason. And so she says, and all delivered with the confidence of someone whose self-belief is severely disproportionate to their capacity for critical thought. So there you go. You're all dumb. Being unvaccinated doesn't make you clever. These are the claims that she's making here. So when the lockdown eased and I could finally see my sister, I felt a sense of happiness and comfort and relief that only people, being with people you love, can bring. And so listen to this. And so as a new year begins, I imagine I will continue to wreak my anger towards the misguided minority. And there you go. So this is a pretty, full on, you know, finger at all of us who looked at the science, who had concerns and said, no, we're not going with this. There's something deeply wrong with this. And so what it proved, though, and we're going to be talking about this in the documentary, of course, all this type of stuff, but deeply, what it proved is that she's not speaking from a position of research, deep research, without bias. Because you've got to remember and keep in mind that all of us that started out researching this were wanting to research the truth. That's all. That's all we wanted. I didn't start out thinking that this was going to be a big bun fight. I didn't think that at all. I thought I'd just research it to inform myself and it'd all be good and we'd all be good. But it wasn't good. It wasn't even close to good. And this the documentary that we've got here, The River of Lies in New Zealand Scamdemic, is an amazing opportunity for us to be able to prove these people wrong in a dramatic and significant way. But let's go back to Paula Penfold. So she wrote this article where she says that you're contemptible, you're foolish, you're stupid, you're not smart, don't have the capacity to think that the vaccine is going to stop you from being infectious, the science is clear, it's going to stop you from being sick, all that and the rest of it. But most of all, it's the contempt and the anger that she says she feels towards people like you and me. And so is this ideological or is it science that she's quoting? It's ideological, isn't it? Because now the science has caught up with all of it. It's out there, completely out there. So let's examine this one here. So now she's wondering, after putting out such terrible, terrible hit pieces on myself and everybody, basically makes out everyone is a nut job. I mean, that Fire and Fury documentary, look, I mean, let's face it, some of the things that she's quoted people saying, they said themselves. And so we can't say, well, they didn't say it when they did say it. Let's go and hang someone outside Parliament. I mean, is that stable, cool, calm, collected, standing on solid ground? No, it's the opposite of that, isn't it? And so anyway, she's written this article and she's saying very clearly that she's been targeted, just like Hannah Martin did the other week. So she's kicked off her new year basically like this. A year ago, I wrote about my sister's cancer. Okay, so let's get that straight, because she's lying as well there. She's lying about it. Why? Because actually, she's talking about the selfishness of some. That's the title, and that represents the tone of the article. Is that fair? I think that's fair to say. And given the brutal treatment regime she was undergoing and had left her immunocompromised, and I wanted to express my frustration that so many people were refusing to adopt COVID measures, which would not only protect themselves but others like her, which we now know to be a complete and utter lie, Paula. And she said, well, I probably didn't do myself any favours by writing that during 2021. I had become misanthropic towards anti-faxters. So we're anti-faxters. That I felt contempt towards people who'd lost their sense of community. I didn't know whether my sister would live or die, as in my defence, she says. I didn't know whether she'd even get even sicker. It would be from her cancer or from COVID. And I was feeling scared for her, and writing about it was a form of catharsis. But the problem is, Paula, is that you wrote lies and you're telling people that had the concerns that were real and founded and scientific. You diminished and insulted and slandered them in every way. And she says, but I was not prepared for the resulting tidal wave that flooded my inbox, neither the volume nor the venom. And then she just goes, a Christchurch musician using his real name wrote an attention-grabbing subject like, if your sister, I hesitated to open the email, obviously, but did. And if you're a grandstanding such and such. Now, you know, I'm a Christian pastor, so I'm not into any of this. I'm into letting her know that she's disgusting and horrible and indecent, but not this way. This is not my style. What a disgraceful human you are. Yes, that's pretty good. That's pretty fair. And then all these people. So she's going on and going on and going on, you know. And so why last August, she said, when we published our Stuffed Circuit documentary, Fire and Fury, investigating the key spreaders of disinformation, I braced myself knowing what was coming, and it did. Oh, you poor thing. And then away it went, all this. So she's quoting all of this, right? And she goes on, and she's talking about, now she's bringing in all of the woke aspects. She's now saying, it's worse for women being harassed. Really? Okay. It's no coincidence her boss, Mark Stevens, who I've challenged multiple times to public debates, that the increasing hostility has come at a time when many feel disenfranchised and wrongly perceive the media being used as a weapon by governments to disseminate their propaganda. Disclaimer, our work at Stuff is funded by NZ On Air. Does that mean NZ On Air or the government tells us what we write? No, I don't believe that. But you write what your masters want you to write. Do you think you'd still get funded, Paula, if you came out and exposed all this, like I'm working myself night and day on this documentary? Do you think you'd be funded by that for that? I don't think so. You know, what is the impact of the abuse? Does it stop us publishing journalism? It's not journalism. No, it doesn't. We'll keep telling those stories, and they are stories. And so it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, in a way, in a way. And the good news is that her sister's is still alive and doing well, which is good news. I'm happy for her for that. I truly am. But what we have here is that we have a very unwell woman herself, Kate Hanna, Virginia Fallon, Nadine, forget her name now, Nadine, what's her name? They're all mentally unwell, just like Greg Capitan. This is not a gender specific. In fact, the irony of it is, though, is that it's mostly these women in journalism roles that are publishing this rubbish that they call journalism. But this is an angle I want us to consider here. This is an angle I want us to consider here about our own performance, about our own performance. From day one that I started doing my broadcast, I have always said, to the point of, I don't know, repetition, for us to keep our peace and our spirit, stand on, stay calm, stay cool, stand on solid ground, and keep the peace in your spirit. It's been my motto, hasn't it? And if we do that, then we disarm all of these claims. Now, you're going to get people that are going to say these sorts of things because they're angry, they're hurt, and they are disenfranchised, just like I've been disenfranchised. But the thing is this, is that this woman and her ilk like her have become the vanguard of the propaganda machinery that has harmed so many people in New Zealand. So how can they not be held up to account? I can understand someone looking at me in 2020 and saying, that bloody Billy TK, he's telling people not to get vaccinated. In 2021, he's telling them not to get vaccinated and not to lock down and not to wear masks and all that. Well, you know, what a dork. I understand that then, because they did not do the research I had done. They hadn't done a deep dive into it. But now, it's not a deep dive. It's a gentle paddle to come up with all this information. It's out there. It's out there, and they can't do anything to stop it. It's right out there. The fact is, 90%+ of the people with COVID in New Zealand right now are vaccinated. We know now that masks can't protect you from anything that's bacterial like that. The reason why doctors wear masks and surgeons is to stop their spittle leaking down from them and into the open wounds of their patients. That's what they're used for. We know that the drug is not going to protect you from infection and from spreading infection, so-called. We know this now. There's nothing secretive about it. We know lockdowns only killed and harmed people. It killed businesses. It killed people's relationships, their marriages. And it was a complete disaster. Absolute disaster. And so when these women and these people in these journalist roles, they are obviously, she claims that these people are so self-centered that they can't look at the truth. Well, now we have the truth. It's everywhere. And she's proven how very selfish and self-centered she is, and intellectually impaired, intellectually, academically disabled, that she cannot understand what's going on here. And it's out there. So if she's going to get this abuse, then you know what? That's only what she was describing there is only a fraction of what I've been through. A fraction of it. I've got people with that have somehow made it so I can't go to my billytk.com website and turn it off, and it's now connected to a Chinese Asian porn site. I've got two fake Facebook pages that slander me, sell that I'm selling my semen for $2,000 a cup, that claim that I'm all sorts of things. I've had death threats. I've had threats of violence against myself. I've had the most slanderous campaigns done against me, that you would, you know, because I'm a liar and I only want to gain things, and I only want to have, multiple, I only want to have affairs, I want power and authority, I'm misogynistic, I'm a Freemason. And it's never ending. And now I've got people within the freedom movement attacking me. And I've always had from day one, I had Sue Gray attack me, I had all of them, Brad, all of them, Damien Dement, and they still do it today. But not Brad. I get on well with Brad now. I think we cleared the air there nicely at my concert in Auckland. But I understand where he's coming from, because how does someone like me come out of nowhere and boom, I've got this huge movement around me. I wouldn't have trusted me. But I would have looked at the heart of the person closely before I went out to injure them. And so when I see this woman who is propagating such harm, for me, I want people to be safe and have their freedoms, their rights, their health, and their right to live in peace protected. You want to go get the jab? That's up to you. I suggest you do your research, look at all of the evidence that's available now before you go and get it. But will I condemn you for getting it? Not on your life. That's your right. Will I condemn someone for not being a Christian? Not at all. I still love you. Don't have any worries with that. Of course I want to see someone saved. But am I going to reject you because you're not? Not on your life. But these people that are coming from the journalistic side like this, the people on the left, they have no tolerance for anyone that has a counter opinion. And the difference between them and you is that they write for a socialistic, leftist, woke media outlet like stuff.co.nz. And they've got the village square in their camp, in the louder voice. That's the difference. And they may not be using F and C and all those terrible words, but they're equally as violent. If you look at the way they say that words, kupu in Māori, that words are violence, then they are the most extreme violent people you can imagine. Okay, you may get people letting off steam saying you're a bunch of, you know, such and such heads and all this. But at the end of the day, what they've done has caused so much harm. Now, I got in touch with Mark Stevens, the boss at stuff.co, and I said to him, look, whatever you do, just report the calm report from medsafe.govt.nz/COVID-19 safety report. I said to Mark Stevens, please, whatever you do, or whatever you don't do anything, just report that. And he didn't even respond to that, because we were debating about having a debate, And like a coward they are, he declined. We haven't finished with them yet. We haven't finished with them by a long shot, because they need to be held accountable in our public square, and we need to be able to set things up that we can have them on. If we need to go to court, let's do it. Let's have these people on, because they think they're too big to fail and too big to be accountable. But they're not, are they? Now, I want to share this with you. This is quite funny. It's going to make a point to really underline what I've just said, so I can summarize this caption about Paula Poison Penfold. That's a good one. All right, have a listen to this, guys. Now, just before I push play, this is about Dr. Peter McCullough basically talking about identifying the most evil people on the planet. All right? And let's have a look at what you think.
But let's name some names when we sure. say they. I think it's fair to say this. So let me throw out a name and you tell me if they're in or out. How about Klaus Schwab?
Nobody will be safe if not everybody is vaccinated.
So just on that, let's just break it apart. So here you have somebody who wears very, very kinky, feminine type bathing suits, who's an unelected official, who's not a doctor, medical doctor, he's not a scientist, medical scientist, anything like that. He's telling you that nobody on this planet is safe unless you get the injection. Okay, so notwithstanding that, of course, we now have all the information to the opposite effect. Let's look at this.
Klaus Schwab in.
Bill Gates.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
The fatality rate, you know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is, although a bit different than that.
So there you go. So you have this guy saying that, well, you know, it's actually, yeah, it's pretty much like the flu, but it's a little bit different, you know, but yeah, it's mostly a disease of the elderly, from the horse's mouth. And yet Paula Penfold said, well, you know, it's not like the flu. And yet the guy that supplied the drugs for it says that that's exactly what it is, although it's a little bit different, he says. That's right, it is. Because at times, the infection fatality rate of it is lower than a severe seasonal flu. All the data's out there. We've got the numbers. And so, there he is. Mr. Jeffrey Epstein's friend is saying, well, you know, we got it wrong.
Yeah.
Jacinda Ahern, Prime Minister.
Now listen to this. He puts Jacinda Ardern, he calls her Ahern, I don't know whether that's a Freudian slip or not, and he puts her at number three.
Minister of New Zealand.
Frankly, conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau, Canada.
Yeah. People fall prey to disinformation, and if Conservative MPs and others want to start talking about conspiracy theories, well, that's their choice.
So what you have here, you notice that he said conservative MPs. Now that's interesting, because he's just politicized people that have done the research and said, no, we've got massive problems here. And so he brings it, if conservatives want to be, no, he might as well just say, if thinking people want to think about this and have problems with it, well, that's their choice. Well, it is our choice to do that. And you know, absolutely. Sorry, Angie, have to disagree with you fully, because I have had COVID. I was over it in 3 days. I've had way worse winter flus. And that's the point, is that for 99.97% of people are going to have the same experience. Why do you think? Why do you think they created the asymptomatic? This is the only pandemic in history where they tell you, you may not know you've got it. You might be fit and well and all good, and you may not know it, but you better go and get yourself tested with a PCR test. So no, it's not the same. Because when you get a severe winter flu, you blink and know it. Period. Can't argue with that at all. All right, let's let it keep going.
In.
President Biden.
Let me say that again. It's a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
In.
Ashish Jha.
I don't know that name.
He's the current White House coronavirus coordinator.
Don't wait. Get your COVID shot. Get your flu shot. That's why God gave you two arms. You can one in each arm if you want.
In.
Anthony Fauci.
So maybe it doesn't work, and they're simply not telling you that.
That's just a typical crazy conspiracy theory.
In.
Robert Califf, head of the FDA.
Right now, the U.S. is a place where there's a lot of work to do to figure out what's happened recently. So tech savvy, and yet life expectancy going backwards.
In.
How about Peter Marks, FDA Vaccine Advisory Committee?
There is a lot of misinformation about the new COVID-19 bivalent vaccines, and this misinformation is dangerous to public health. We know some parents are having a hard time deciding whether to vaccinate their children against COVID-19, but there are considerable risks to not getting your child vaccinated.
In.
How about Dr. Rubin, editor of New England Journal of Medicine?
They seem very safe. They seem very comparable to other vaccines.
And that's the problem. Now, the point that you can make with some of this, was about some of these people, is that they've got financial interests in the business of the drug itself. You've got people like that guy Rubin that was just talking about, who's an advertising outlet for all of the major pharmaceutical companies. It's just like the Public Interest Journalism Fund. Are the media going to bite the hand that feeds them? Not at all. They're never going to do that. You don't need to be a scientist to work that out, do you? No, you don't. You know, and as Lisa Mary says, using God, he gave us two arms for the poison arrow. Wow. And this is the propaganda that we've had to endure through the mass media, through all of the outlets out there, non-stop, exactly like they had practiced in 2014, 17, and 19 to control all communications and to pump out the message, period. And you know what? The thing is, people have been sick. I mean, I remember one time I caught the flu. I had it for about a week and a half. And I was crook as a dog with it. And, you know, and then from that, I got chickenpox at the age of 19. I'll never forget it. And so, you know, and yet, having had that, do you close down the entire system? Do you rob people of their human rights? Do you destroy economies? Do you create Marxist segregation? Do you create citizen informer programs like Know the Signs that the New Zealand Security Intelligence Service is running on behalf of this government? Exactly the same phenomenon that the Nazis used. And that's not a light comparison. That's the fact. Stoney's saying it here. First rule of communism, control the media. Absolutely. And one way you do that is that you try and create a super media organization, which is what Willie Jackson is trying to suck the public into. But it's not working. No one's buying this. So they can harp on as much as they like. But whether they like it or not, the facts are coming out. And this documentary we're doing is going to be a big part of that. Now, one of the other things I wanted to share with you tonight, boy, I tell you, there are some interesting things going on. There is some interesting things going on. And I'm just going to give the COVID thing a break for a minute while I look at these other things, all right? And I just, here's a headline. I'm just going to go past this headline just real quickly, just to remind us. And you know the numbers around how deadly this disease was going to be? and how it was going to happen and how why they created the epidemic and then pandemic status of this. It's because of the Imperial College. He's still now trying to do the same thing with monkeypox. Imperial College predicted catastrophe in every country on Earth. Then the models, they what? They failed. And this is all about COVID. And they go into it at length. Boy, this is a really, really good thing. And this guy here, Ferguson, physicist Neil Ferguson, is the same guy that got caught during lockdown in London as a married man having an affair with a married woman. He got caught, pure and simple. And he admitted it to the world's media. But this is the same guy that came up with these models, and he had done it before, and he failed before, and he failed big time with this. The same modeling strategy of Professor Sean Hendy and that New Zealand uses. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I really don't. Better be careful, though. I don't want to come across as a conspiracy theorist. Make no bones about that. Thought I'd get another one in there. All right, so what I wanted to look at was this. Now, my dear mate, she sent me this. And this is quite interesting. This is from the Otago Daily Times and from the 15th of January. So there you go. Not all good. Sorry, Sunday the 15th of January. But this is from the 12th of January. Kamikaze drones may soon be part of New Zealand's arsenal. So what this is here, by the way, is that these are basically kamikaze assets where they're drones, they've got ordnance in them, which is explosives, and basically they go over, find out where people are, the enemy is, they sit high and try and be inconspicuous, and then what they do is they don't drop a bomb. They fly down into their target and explode upon impact, thus destroying the target. Now, okay, I get the idea that we need to be up with the play technology-wise. I get that. I totally get that. That our military needs to have state-of-the-art gear. I get that and understand that clearly. But the thing is that when we are dealing with a government that has set up the police to arrest and the judiciary to prosecute and persecute peaceful protesters, when you get the New Zealand government using the media, weaponizing it to attack, slander, and misinform the public and propagate propaganda, you've got a problem. When you've got a secret, or shall I say, security intelligence service, secret services, that have been politicized in the way they have now, whereby they will identify you as a domestic threat because you're speaking like me. When you get all those combinations there, and when they've used military to assist civilian police, having roadblocks, road checks, manning the isolation detention centers, you've got a real pickle right here that you are in. And so when you get a government that is looking at buying all of these drones, what for? Okay, again, I understand you get some drones for training purposes, and if we go into a conflict, what do? You ring up the supplier and go, look, I want 10,000 of these, and you buy them. But do you do that up front? And so what I want to look at, I want to understand if there's a treaty or a convention whereby they can't use these things on New Zealand soil. Because my problem is this. What have they done? They've taken firearms off a lot of people. Not the criminals who are shooting and killing people, but the good people who should have firearms if they want them. Matter of right. And they've taken those away. And now, what are they trying to do with this, I wonder? Is there an existential threat there that they could, if they wanted to, use those to threaten massive protests? could this be the gun against the head of a society that's been disarmed? I think it's something worth thinking about. Let's not be radical about it, but let's just ask the question, is that possibly a thing? Now, another interesting thing here is I want to point something out here. I've been talking a lot about Chatham House. Now, Chatham House is that organization that has announced that the world has the new religion. It's called Earthism. Chatham House. Now, we all know what Chatham House rules are, don't we? Isn't it where you talk about things in secret and in confidence? That should give you a hint, wouldn't it? And this global think tank is where that Jacinda Ardern spoke at just a few short months ago. But who's the president of this thing? Now, this is essentially a secretive think tank. They're not talking about everything they're up to. They can't. They won't. They're having meetings and they're sussing things out in these think tanks. That's their job. It's what they do. But it's interesting to see who the leaders have been, the presidents of this thing. Let's go here. Our governance. I was doing a bit of digging around today, and I found this. Talking about patrons. Okay, Baroness Manningham Buller, the Right Honourable Lord Darling. Looks like a sweet guy. And then who else do you have here? You got the Right Honourable Sir John Major. Okay, Sir John Major. Well, he was responsible for some pretty horrible things. But who else have we got there? I'm glad you asked. Let's just get this into sight here. You've got this woman here, the Right Honourable Helen Clark. Don't you think that's all interesting? Because I heard, even before politics for me in 2020, that Helen Clark has been calling the scenes behind the scenes for some time. She's gone from being number three in the UN construct, the UN organization, the gigantic, unelected, non-governmental organization. She's gone from being number three, number one in the UNDP. Now she's number one as the president of this thing here that's declared God is dead. Earth is the goddess and the God of you, of all humans, because they're creating this global religion that the Vatican supports. That's an interesting component there. And so I find it amazing that Helen Clark's protege, aka Jacinda Ardern, well, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's interesting connections, which we'll be talking about. But I find it very interesting that Helen Clark is a part of this. I really do. Because all of these people, all of them, are all connected. They are all connected, all of them. The Klaus Schwabs, all of them. Why am I saying this? Because, of course, the United Nations, and this is a good point, actually, to make before we go there. The United Nations declared years ago that to deny children their access to sexuality is a prohibition and a restriction of their human rights. Let me say that again. United Nations declared as part of the rights of the child that to withhold access to sexuality as young as 4 years old, that you were limiting their liberties and their human rights. Is there no wonder why we live in this woke world where men are demasculated? We're all going to be, you know, demasculated, so we don't speak up. We don't stand up for our whānau. We don't protect our women, provide for them, and be men. No. You got to be fluid now. The woman's got to do that job. Now, I was saying in a sermon I gave recently, women are more than capable as men. to do the roles and the jobs that men, more than, sometimes better than men. My wife is better with her hands with a hammer than I am, by far. She's really good. I'm not as good. But I'm a heck of a lot better at other things than what she can do. And vice versa. And, but in terms of children being sexualized, you know, in Canada, they've approved all these things. They're trying to develop this concept of what minor attracted persons. Minor attracted persons, MAPS. Now, how the heck can that even be something they can even think they can launch off the ground? It's because men have been demasculated as what, and God's thrown out. We won't even go to the religious side of it, the spiritual side of it, but because real men wouldn't tolerate this nonsense in there at all. You know, you think about it, you know, last year when I was talking about that that school in Whangarei, where the 11-year-olds were being taught about, you know, homosexual sex, sex toys, anal sex, all these topics that are just censorable to even mention. I don't even want to talk about it. And that school in Whangarei, area school, had a teacher who took it upon herself to go and teach all the 11-year-olds in her class this topic by a mistake. By a mistake, really? And now, what do we have here? Pedophiles will save the world. Minor attracted people will save the world, claims the World Economic Forum. Now, this really, you know, really creeps my skin. It really does. It really does. It truly does. Listen to this. Organized, systematic child abuse is a part of the lifestyle of the elites in the higher circles of our societies. As we know, Epstein, Prince Andrew, etc. As this has been exposed, you know, Jimmy Savile, friend of Prince Charles, King Charles now. As this has been exposed, they are at risk of being prosecuted, which is why they are trying to normalize it. But this was years ago that they did this in the UN. So this has taken a while for this to catch on. Check the videos below, it says, for shocking eyewitness testimonies. And all that sort of stuff, right? But look at, have a listen to this. I think it'd be well worth having a listen to what this guy says here, just for a minute. Let's have a listen. And now would be a nice time.
A controversial initiative being promoted in the corridors of power by Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum in Davos is set to have families and anyone who cares about children up in arms. The World Economic Forum is now calling for the decriminalization of sex with children, arguing laws against age gap love, more commonly known as paedophilia, violate human rights. Rather than being a scourge, the paedophilia epidemic that's sweeping the world is actually nature's gift to humanity, according to Klaus Schwab, whose World Economic Forum has declared that paedophiles are being created by nature in increasingly large numbers, for a reason. According to a research paper presented at the WEF in Davos, the paedophile phenomenon represents nature's attempt to cleanse the earth and save humanity from itself. Minor attracted people are far less likely to produce large numbers of offspring, according to academic data, and the so-called underage people they have so-called relationships with are statistically less likely to go on and become heads of large families themselves. This appeals to the WEF and their vision of destroying the family unit and depopulating the earth. The WEF, which has ordered mainstream media to begin pushing the narrative, wants to introduce an international policy that will require the majority of countries to decriminalize or at the very least relax their laws against paedophilia. The New York Times, always at the forefront of the globalist agenda, ran an op-ed arguing that paedophilia is not a crime. According to the Times, civil rights protections must be extended to paedophiles. Without legal protection, a paedophile cannot risk seeking treatment or disclose his status to anybody for support. Not to be outdone, CNN countered with an article proclaiming that paedophiles are not monsters or social deviants living in the shadows. According to CNN, it's high time for society to update its image of paedophiles. CNN followed up this article with an even more explicit call for sympathy.
All right, so you guys get the drift. I don't want to labour on that at all. But you get the drift of what they're working towards. So the ultimate layout of this tyranny that we've seen is so multifaceted, it's quite incredible. You've got the destruction of the family unit, the whānau unit. You've got the demasculation of men, the sexualization of children, high sexualization of children. If you've got Disney Channel in your house and you've got kids, get rid of it. If you've got, I don't care if they kick and scream and all that, get rid of the blinking Disney Channel, all of those things like that. Get rid of them. Highly sexualized. And you've got that. You've got all these other things. You've got Marxism. You've got the rainbow community issue, which is why they push the same thing with minor attracted people. They're trying to make that an extra couple of alphabets in the letters in that alternative community range. Maps, you know, LGBTQ maps, blah, blah, blah. What? What? And that's where ultimately it's going. And the reason you heard them say is to reduce population. So would that partially explain why we've seen the agenda push so hard in the last few years? But the problem is, to bring in the next phase of tyranny, it has to swing to the right. You mark my words, make no bones about it. That's the third time tonight I use that one. Make no bones about it. That's for, it's gonna swing to the right. Has to, must do. And so this is something to be wary of and aware of. But they're still undercover, will be bringing in these agendas. Because if you think about it, you know, like I was saying earlier, the UN were already onto this. I'm talking five, six, 7 years ago that they did that. I remember hearing about it when it came out that length of time ago. And so, which, you know, makes you sick. But now, of course, it's taken on a whole new life, hasn't it? And they're trying to do all this incredibly indecent things. Now, what I want to ask is, where are the articles from Paula Penfold and Stuff.com, New Zealand Herald, about this travesty? Minor attracted people? Really? How do they get away with that? It's incredible, isn't it? Now, a couple of things before I do say goodnight, guys. I just want to thank you for coming in. I do want to mention these things again for you as well. Is I am on the road this week. I'm filming the River of Lies, New Zealand Scandemic. I've got interviews down in the South Island. And we're doing some international interviews while I'm down there. And so on Thursday, the 19th of January, this coming week, I'm going to be in Balclutha. And we would love it if you would come. It'd be great to have you there. And it's at a great guy's place, a function facility. And it would be great to see you. So if you'd like more information on that, please let me know. The other thing is too, is that we're looking for a venue in Dunedin for Tuesday night. And as soon as we do that, we will be able to confirm a presentation there. All right, so it would be great for us to do that. And that's kind of like a pre-special meeting before I go on my national speaking tour in February and in March. The other thing too, please family, is we desperately need your support for my legal fees. I've got a couple of dear friends, good friends of mine, that have come up with a strategy to try and help me with my legal bills, which are just horrible. They really are. I think the total is about $48,000. So it's scary. I don't have it. And, you know, I've got 33,000 people that follow me. So I'm just hoping that if we could say to everybody on a certain day, if everybody can put what you can afford into the account on that day, I might just get enough to help me out of this. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm going to do. So if you do wish to help me, this is the account to do it. This is my account. This is not the documentary account. This is my one. This is the one that I pay my legal fees, I pay my power, feed my whānau, and pay my broadcasting fees. So if you can help, I'd be grateful for that. Now, the last issue that I want to share with you is this one here. And I want to make some statements about it. This is a sad story, actually. Iran hangs an Iranian British and ex-defense official for spy claim. This man here has been arrested because he's a British and Iranian national, and they say that he was a spy for MI6. But this is the thing that gets me, is that when they were cracking down on the protesters in Iran, you had Ardern came out and she was saying, you know, this is absolutely terrible. They are, you know, they're cracking down on these peaceful protesters, and what a totalitarian regime. But isn't that what we've been enduring here in New Zealand? Isn't it? I think so. I don't think I'm drawing a long bow with that. I really don't. I don't think we're drawing a long bow in that at all. I think what we have here is a level of hypocrisy that's hard to imagine. And do I feel unsafe in my own country because of the government? You bet I do. You bet I do. Do I feel unsafe about being in this country with this government? I do. Absolutely I do. And, you know, and that's why it makes me laugh that, you know, you've got Paula Poison Penfold saying these things whereby, you know, that she feels hard done by because someone calls her a name. Sticks and stones or what? Whereas, you know, I've got multiple charges aimed at me. I'm being sentenced on March the 30th. They don't like what I do and say. I've got trolls that I'm sure are supported by either Labour Party members or Labour Party funding that just completely troll me in every way. These fake book pages that have been made up. You know, how do people do that? The lengths that people have gone through to try and get at me. And so I'm not having a moan here. I'm just stating some facts here, by the way. And so that's why it absolutely astounds me that, you know, Paula Penfold thinks that it's all bad. Well, she's on the winning team right now. And it is propaganda that they push. So the final synopsis that I wanted to make tonight is this, is that the New Zealand government is as every much a totalitarian regime as Iran, as North Korea, as China. Make no mistake about it. They really are. They want to silence you. They will attack you in every way possible. Slander you, fund the media to do it. They will come after you in every way because there is no freedom of speech in New Zealand. There is no freedom of thought. There are two classes of society now. There's those that agree with the government and those who don't. That's it. In terms of how the government views it. And if you agree with them, you'll get everything. You'll get funded. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you are a pee addict, druggie running a program, they will fund you. They'll fund you, no problem. Just put your tono in, your application in for funding, and you'll get it. You'll get it, no problem. And when I spoke to New Zealand On Air about supporting this documentary that we're doing, River of Lies, New Zealand Scandemic, the lady laughed down the phone. I've got her on camera. She didn't know I was filming, of course. And so this is very interesting. This is educational research that I'm doing. And so what we need to do, though, is reflect on our own behavior, the concepts of our own behavior. Because I've always said one thing we don't want to do is to repeat the behavior of the people in government, of the people in the media, and those lefties that say they want to kill you and me because we don't agree with them. We can't repeat that behavior. All right, family, I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Okay, I want to remind you, dear whānau, I've got these beautiful books here. I've got this one here, which is a beautiful Christian devotional book. If you'd like a copy of that, billy@ibc.net.nz. If you want to know why we have a global climate change issue coming with a global day of rest, this will tell you. It will tell you why, and it will lead you to this beautiful book here. And if you want to know the geopolitical and religious history, this book will give it to you, and lead you to that beautiful book here. So if you'd like these books free of charge, I must ask for a donation for the Bibles because they cost us. And so what happens is if you pay a few bucks for that, I'll put in a courier bag, all of the other books, and send it to you. And your little bit of money helps us to buy more to give away to other people. Does that make sense? Some people can't afford them and we just send them. Also this week while I'm on the road, I'll have River of Lies t-shirts, and I've got the last top of the line phone that I'm going to be wanting to sell as well. So if you'd like to know more about this, I'll send you all the details. I've got a couple of inquiries, but if you'd like to know more about that, billy@ibc.net.nz, and I've got a whole heap of these coming soon, the cheaper variety than that. That's the top of the very, very top of the line one, which I was kindly given by the company as part of my support. So guys, thank you. Remember, regardless of all this nonsense, keep the peace in your spirit. Must always have that. If you don't have the peace in your spirit, seek the Prince of Peace, the Lord, while you can. All of this is happening for a reason. This is not by accident. This is not just a phase of human behavior. This is the real deal, and that Bible has it all there. Seek the Lord while he can. Look beyond the matrix, because there the truth is being hidden in plain sight to what we're going through. And if you would like to know more about that, then please email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. And if you'd like to join my weekly Bible studies, please do. If I can help you to be baptized, if that's something you would like to do, then I've got a 10-week study course that you're welcome to complete with me. In Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore teaching and baptizing the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." But notice that word teaching, you've got to be taught the truth, not this watered down version of Christianity that's out there now. Get the real stuff. All right, whānau, have a really good night. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I won't be seeing you tomorrow night because I'll be traveling. But I'll keep in contact and post things as I go. Thanks so much, everyone. God bless. Pō marie e te whānau.